Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The following is a KMOX sports presentation.
To the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Outstanding to be with you. Welcome in to Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler, I'm in for my friend Chris Raby today, and I got to be honest with you, man, this is pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be back on the Mighty Mox for the first time in 6.5 years. I mean, as a host, right? I've jumped on with my friends here a couple of times. Klaibs has had me on and Sports Open Line. We've done some things like that. But very cool to be back, man. Welcome in. Got a busy show planned for you today. As you can imagine, a lot of Cardinals baseball. We'll talk a little bit about what went down today and a few other spring training related stories with Mike Claiborne. He'll be joining me here at 6:30. So we'll get Klaibs' thoughts on this. And also, I had to find out what Klaibs is doing for dinner, too, because to be honest, man, you know, being back in the building here at KMOX, giving me flashbacks to like spring training 2010, 2011, 2012, all the time I get to spend with all my good friends down there hanging out with Derek Gould and Jen Langosh and Matthew Leach and all that. Ah, it's got me like longing for hurricane wings. I so badly want hurricane wings right now and their garlic parm fries. I'm like, I'm just jonesing for it because, well, I'm thinking about spring training, and those are the kind of memories that come back. So we'll see what Klaibs is doing for dinner tonight. He's been known to frequent some of the better restaurants down in Jupiter over the years. We'll get more than that, though. Obviously, we'll talk about some of the young fellas, how Dylan Carlson's looking, what's going on in Mike Shildt. In Mike Shildt's second spring training as the manager of the Cardinals. So we'll get all those things covered with Mike Claiborne coming up at 6:30. My good friend Mike Farron's going to join us at 7:20. Mike, of course, is the host of Power Alley on MLB Network Radio. He also works on the Diamondbacks broadcast team. But Mike and I are co-workers at MLB Network Radio. We get a chance to cross paths there once in a while. We get some of his thoughts on the National League. And being that he's at MLB Network Radio, he covers National Major League Baseball. So we'll get his thoughts on the Cardinals and the National League Central Division now as we're a couple of weeks into spring training and a full weekend to the Grapefruit League and Cactus League games. And then 7:35, man, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have Michael Rappaport on, of course, actor, comedian. He's in town performing at Helium this Sunday night, but a huge, huge sports fan too, and absolutely hilarious. One of my favorite guys when it comes to famous people who like sports. So, you know, one of my, like, I, you know, we, you know, all the people in sports know the other famous people that like sports, and you try to kind of cross paths because it's super fun. Because the people that are famous outside of sports, they love talking sports. They don't necessarily want to talk about what they're interested in. And when you get people like me in sports, it's kind of fun once in a while to branch out. You know, my good friends Randy and Jason Sklar, it's always a great opportunity to bring the boys on. In fact, we'll have to do that at some point here in the not-too-distant future. If anybody needs another day off on Sports Up Online, let me know. I'll fill in, and then we'll call Randy and Jay and get the guys in. They're actually coming to town here in a little bit to do a live version of their podcast, Dumb People Town, And they're hilarious. And I'll tell you about that a little bit more later on. But that's always fun stuff. So we'll get to Michael Rappaport next hour. Starting things off here, though, we're going to jump right in on the Cardinals since we'll be picking things up with Mike Claiborne here at 6:30. Figured it's a good idea to kind of jump in on Cardinals things, some of the quick hitters from today, some of the hot topics in camp. And, you know, today was kind of a quiet game. Not that it matters. It's just there isn't really a whole lot to report on other than the continued success early on of Dylan Carlson. And, you know, I've been a fan for a long time. You know, I'm one of those kind of baseball nerds that follows minor league baseball at a ridiculous level. I've been doing it for a long time. I mean, you go back to late 90s, early 2000s, I actually covered the minor leagues for the Sporting News and wrote for another publication and wrote a whole book. I actually am a published author, believe it or not, a book on prospects. So it's kind of been a hobby of mine for a long time. So I've been following Dylan Carlson since he was drafted. And as you watch the progression go, it's been a pretty consistent progression that fits with where he is at every level, right? My friend Bernie Miklas actually wrote about that for The Athletic today, and it was a really good description of kind of how he's always been one of the youngest players at every level, but yet he's found success at every level. And you have to keep in mind, like when you look at Carlson's numbers, each league is a little different in the minor leagues, right? Like, you know, when you're coming up through the Florida State League, for example, it's if you're a hitter, you're not going to have great numbers. You're just not. And in particular, you're not going to have power numbers. If you think about the circumstances that exist, and you'll probably see some of that here in spring training, the only time you hit a lot of home runs in Florida is when the wind's blowing out. If the wind's not blowing out, you're at or below sea level at some ballparks. So you're not going to get a lot of help from any elevation. You've got thick, humid air. You've got big ballparks, by the way, right? I mean, some minor league parks don't have the same major league dimensions, but these are all major league parks because that's where the spring training facilities are. So a lot of the Florida State League teams play at major league ballparks. So when you look at Carlson's numbers a couple years back when he was playing in the Florida State League for Palm Beach, you're like, not a lot of power. Yeah, but you know what? He had not a lot of home run power, but if you take a look at doubles, doubles can translate into balls that go over the fence later on down the line. He's obviously got a great grasp on how to take an at-bat. He's got the big league approach, as they like to say. So, you know, he draws his fair share of walks, and that held true during his time in the Florida State League. And then once he got to Double-A Springfield, and the Texas League is a much better hitters league, all of a sudden you get the explosion, right? Hey, by the way, here's a pro tip for you. Here's a sneak preview. Look for Nolan Gorman's numbers to do the same thing this year that Carlson's did last year. Because if you look at both of them when they were at Palm Beach, pretty much identical. Like Nolan Gorman's numbers last year were really close to what Carlson was there back in 2018. So if I'm into making any kind of predictions with good health, like this early in the spring, I'm always nervous about this. But if I'm going to feel kind of froggy and give you a prediction, I'd be willing to bet on somewhere 28 to 30 home runs for Nolan Gorman this year in the Texas League, assuming he lasts all year there because he may spend his time in the Pacific Coast League. And if he goes there, the numbers will be even bigger because they've used that juiced up Major League Baseball. So the numbers at AAA last year went through the roof, and I would imagine that's going to continue this year because they're continuing to use the Major League ball this year too. So Carlson is the guy that's getting a lot of buzz in camp, right? Because even the team has had a hard time holding back praise for the kid, right? I mean, the team and John Mozeliak's not really the kind of guy that's going to overly praise the young players. He wants to kind of generally kind of soft play it. You don't want to raise expectation levels too much. He's had no hesitation in talking about how they feel about Dylan Carlson and how they feel about what he is for this team in the long term. The question we have now here in spring is, what is he in 2020? Does he have the juice to make the opening day roster? Well, I mean, that's a multi-level question, and we can talk about some of that with Mike Claiborne here in a few minutes, but it's a multi-layered question here, right? It's not only just about whether or not he shows you he's ready. It's also about the guys in front of him in line and what do they do. Does Tyler O'Neill have an awful spring, or is he really good? Does Harrison Bader have an awful spring, or is he really good? Or in either of their cases, just good enough to hold on to those jobs going into the regular season? Because there's a lot that has to happen for Carlson to make the jump for opening day, because the team has a huge financial interest. And by the way, I absolutely despise that this is the way that it is in Major League Baseball, that teams don't always bring the best 25 north because they have to protect that extra year. I know why they do it. And look, the way the rules are, you almost have to, right? I mean, it's almost irresponsible business-wise not to. It's still awful for the player. And you can see, though, I still think that plays into the animosity that Chris Bryant has toward the Cubs and the reason why things are not as smooth there, because they held him back artificially. He was ready, and they made up these excuses. And that's the worst part, right? Like, he needs to go work on his defense for 14 days. Because you know you're going to get a whole lot better at one aspect of the game in 2 weeks. That's the problem, though, is it puts people in those kind of positions where they got to spin these odd reasons for sending a guy down that clearly belongs in the majors. That's something they'll probably address in the next collective bargaining agreement somehow, so you don't have to deal with that. So players don't have to be subject to really antiquated and to be honestly, dumb rules. But the way the rules are now, unless other players are hurt or they're just so much worse than Carlson, you're almost guaranteed he's going to spend a couple weeks at Memphis, at the very least. And again, maybe more than that. So that's one of the early stories that we're all tracking. And I don't think it's all that. It's not panic-inducing if he has to spend a couple of weeks. Like, even if he hits 400 here in the spring and handles the better big league pitchers that he's going to see later in the spring, because that's really the challenge, right? I mean, he looks good right now. I think he's gotten on base. I think I saw this on Twitter from my buddy Derek Gould earlier. I think it's 5 or 6 straight plate appearances where he's gotten on base over a couple of games, and he's been pretty consistent. You know, he's done something every time he's gotten the opportunity to play. So, you know, we're not. It's too early to judge that, because at this point you're still facing guys that you may not see later in spring, right? Guys that are going to get shipped out, guys that are early spring arms, but maybe not some of the more established big league arms, and in particular big league relievers that you're going to see later on in the season. So it's too early to be judging any of this on Carlson, but like, he's the hot topic at camp, right? I mean, what else is driving conversation early other than maybe injuries and how are some of the pitchers holding up physically, right? Like, does Carlos Martinez come out of an appearance feeling okay the next day, right? Like, that's news. That's the kind of stuff that's important early in spring. What's important for the young guys early in spring, and I'll throw Lane Thomas into this, we'll throw Justin Williams into this, is just to make sure they look like they belong, right? The younger players that are fighting for playing time in the big league, do you look like you belong? The job for veterans like Dexter Fowler is just to be healthy, right? Matt Carpenter, Colton Wong, your job is to be healthy. Paul DeJong, just be healthy. Get to the end of spring training without an injury, we're okay from there. When you're talking about the guys that are in between, right? They're not the kids. They're not the new guys with no experience. They've got some experience, but they're not established, right? Like Paul O'Neill, I do that all the time. I mean, seriously, somebody needs to punch me in the face. Tyler O'Neill. I don't know why Paul O'Neill is stuck in my head, but I've been doing this for like 2 years now, and every time I do it, I say the wrong name. Tyler O'Neill. So if I say Paul O'Neill, at least use the translator in your head. You know that I mean Tyler O'Neill. But Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader both have to prove that they have earned those jobs, right? They walk into camp with the lead. They walk into camp with the name of starter next to them, but they don't own it yet. Those other guys I listed, they own their spots. Paul Goldschmidt owns his spot. Yadi owns his spot. Not that complicated. So as we start off early in spring, we're just kind of getting a feel. Do they look like they belong? And so far, those younger players that we're talking about have looked exactly like they belong. All right, we got a lot of Cardinals baseball for you here on Sports Open Line. I got a little bit more on the way the things went with Marcelo Ozuna later on, courtesy of our friend Derek Gould later in the show. I mentioned Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio next hour, actor and comedian Michael Rappaport next hour. It's kind of mic night. It's open mic night on Sports Open Line. Every guest is Mike Farron, Michael Rappaport, Mike Claiborne. Well, we got Claibs coming up next. It's Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on Sports Open Line. Very excited to take this portion of the show to head down at least via the telephone line and the magic of radio to Jupiter, Florida, because I'm going to say right up front that I'm extremely jealous of our friend Mike Claiborne, who's down there covering things and getting to hang out in the sun and go out to all the cool dinners and all the other stuff that's going on down there. So, Claves, first of all, I'm jealous of you, and but I only hate you a little bit, and I want to say thanks for jumping on, man. It's good to talk to you here on the first time back in the Mighty Mox in about 6.5 years.
I know, man. First of all, welcome back, and it's good to hear your voice on KMOX. And it's always great to talk to you. And you can just hate me a little bit. That's okay. That's more than most people.
It's a friendly hate, man. It's just a friendly
it
hate.
It is. Yeah, I get it. Hey, listen.
It's
if
just
I was
jealousy.
Place with you, I'd have the voodoo doll, I'd stick and things in it. So, you know, yeah. I get it. I get it.
All right, so how's Jupiter going? It seems like from everything that I hear and read, it's going pretty smoothly so far.
Yeah, you know what? You know, with the exception of Michaelis, you know, we haven't had any injuries per se. Knock on wood, you know, Goldschmidt played yesterday in the field for the first time. Matt Carpenter probably could have played had the Cardinals not been on a three-hour bus ride. So I expect to see him playing this weekend for sure. Good competition, though, man. I think that that's something that we were a little anxious to see. You know, when you look at the utility spots on the infield, obviously the outfield situation speaks for itself. And then you have the pitching. And, you know, I think this is going to be last man standing, man, because everybody who we were looking forward to seeing has stepped up and made the contribution we were hoping for. So, overall, I think it's the most competitive and deepest camp I've seen in a long time, with guys with major league experience for sure, and guys who I think can still play.
Yeah, you know,
so far so good.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting setup, right? Because what they have is, as you pointed out, a lot of depth, so a lot of numbers to throw at the biggest questions. And the biggest question is essentially who provides a little bit more production somewhere in the middle of the order, or maybe at the top of the order, that can, you know, give Goldschmidt some protection just by having people on in front of him. Who ends up rounding out the rotation based on, you know, the time that Miles Michaelis is going to miss, and of course how things go with Carlos. And then it's interesting battle in the pen too, because if Carlos is in the rotation, there's a job or two of significance at the back end that's going to have to get sorted out.
Yeah, you're right, and you know, we won't have Hicks until at least July.
Right.
So it's going to be kind of a situation where it may be a bullpen by committee. And I think also, Kevin, and I'd like to get your thoughts on the whole minimum, the three-batter minimum, and how that changes the look in bullpens. You know, Mike Schilt was talking about it a couple of days ago about, you know, not only will you not have a specialist, you have to bring everybody into spring training expecting to start unless you've already become an established bullpen guy.
No, it's a good point. And let's kick that around a little bit, too, because that's going to be an interesting issue. Now, at this point, we don't know exactly how the bullpen's going to play out, right? I mean, you know, as frustrating as it's been to follow Brett Cecil's ups and downs the last couple years, we don't know what he's going to bring to the table this spring. But they don't really have a lefty that's only for lefties, right? I mean, when Miller's right, it doesn't matter who he's facing. He's going to get lefties and righties out. So I'm not sure that this is as big an issue for them as it is anything else. I will say, though, from a strategic standpoint, and the reason I hate this is that if a guy just doesn't have it, and he goes out there and he throws eight straight balls to start the outing, well, you got to let him go for that third batter, and I'm not a real big fan of that concept.
Somebody's going to take a beating.
I agree with
you. There's going to be a day where he's just not going to have it, and he's going to take a beating, and then he'll be in the minors. They'll send him out because he won't be any good to you for at least 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't have a short bullpen either. So, you know, there's so many things that would go into this. I was asking Ollie Marmol the other day about, you know, in football, you have a chart of when to go for 2 points on the conversion.
Right, right.
And when it's right. And I said, well, you guys have something similar to that. And he said, yeah, that's being kicked around on when to use who and when. And it'll, I think it'll not only match up with regard to the hitter pitcher matchup, but how many days rest is he throwing on, and you know, and how much did he warm up in the bullpen? I think bullpen warm ups really have a significance now, because we've seen guys that have gone and throw a whole game out there.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore. You got to be ready to go. And some guys take longer to warm up than the weather and this and that. There's so many intangibles that would go into this that I don't think we'll get this thing figured out before June.
No, you know, the thing that I dislike about it the most, Klabes, is that I just don't see the benefit. I mean, so what, we're going to save, like, I think somebody figured out that, like, this is only going to impact something like a small, like, 3-4% of all
4%,
innings, something like
4%.
That. I mean, why are we taking the risk of, you know, putting someone's health at risk if they come out there and they're not feeling good and they got to go out there and walk 3 straight batters? Why do we want to do this for such a minimal benefit?
Well, and here's the other thing I throw into it. They said it's going to help speed up the game where you won't have the pitching changes. How many times have you seen a guy labor and he knows he doesn't have it. He's kicking the dirt. He's stepping off. He's looking in the dugout. Going to burn a trip to the mound on him. I mean, I think you go back to ground zero on this situation. But
I agree.
They felt like they had to do something because there are some guys who were kind of abusing the pitching matchups. And, you know, how many games have you and I seen where we're cruising, we get to the seventh inning, and all of a sudden somebody wants to get cute with the matchups and they want to match this guy. And I understand it. I just think there's got to be a little latitude here in order to make sure it's effective.
You know, it's funny because it really is at its worst in the postseason. And the postseason is only 4 weeks out of a 7-month period.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I think it's also done for TV. You know, they don't like the 4-hour games. They don't like the 3-hour and 50-minute game. They think they're going to whittle off 3 minutes here. Oh, okay, so now it's only 3:47.
I know.
I understand sometimes they want to do change for the sake of saying they've done something. I don't know if it's going to work. But, I don't think – and, you know, I'm going to move that back to July. I said June because I think weather will have a lot to do with it. Cool. I think disabled lists will have a lot to do with it. You know, they've expanded. They moved it back to 15 days. See, I think if you have the 10-day DL, you see guys going up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
15, man, that's 2 weeks. You know, that you don't have a guy, so you better be very deep in your minor league system if you're going to start bringing guys up and down. So there's a lot of questions to be asking. And, you know, I know they did it in the minors last year in Triple A. I was talking to Ben Johnson, the Memphis manager, about it. He said, yeah, it took some getting used to. And he said, there still isn't a right way to do it. You know, and he said it's more about feel than anything else.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Mike Claiborne's down in Jupiter, Cardinals broadcaster, and, of course, covering things for us down there here on KMOX. So moving back to the Cards for a minute, Claibs, and talking a bit about that outfield competition and the depth that's there. I think we'd all agree that Dylan Carlson's probably going to have to be really special the entire spring and maybe even see a couple of other guys struggle if he's going to make the opening day roster, but he's been one of the early stories in Grapefruit League action. Seems to, he's gotten on base, I think, 5-6 straight plate appearances, was 1-for-1 with a couple of walks today. He sure seems to be living up to the early hype, at least.
He's in the clubhouse with the lead. Now, remind everybody, it's a very short lead because we haven't been out here that long.
Right.
I mean, we're coming up on a week of games. But, Kevin, I tell you, he checks a lot of boxes, man. He had a triple yesterday, and the only reason why he had it is because he ran the bases the correct way. He didn't, you know, you make that wide turn, and next thing you know, you're touching the grass in the outfield and trying to find the bag again. He just cut the bag so well. He's fundamentally really sound from what I've seen. On the other side of that coin, I know Harrison Bader went out and worked on his swing, but, you know, other than the home run that he hit in the first at bat, I don't know if I've seen much of a change.
The strikeouts
are there. The strikeouts are still there. And, you know, when he makes contact, he's pulling the ball. And, you know, he's the guy that's got to hit it on the ground. He's got to go the other way. He's got to utilize his speed. Tyler O'Neill's a guy who I'm still waiting on to click. Lane Thomas has had some flashes. Justin Williams has run into a couple of pitches. He's still trying to find his way. So the competition is still there. And Dexter Fowler, yeah, we've just resigned ourselves to say he's going to be in right field come hell or high water. So I don't even know why we bring that up at this point. So there are two positions, in my opinion, but they're still open for business.
Let me ask you a quick question, Claibs. Mike Shildt had his first full season last year, right? So this is his second spring training where, you know, it's his spring training, right? He's the guy that's running the show. I thought, you know, and look, I'll be honest. You know, early on in the year last year, there were some things I was a little critical about. I thought sometimes there were times when he diminished when things were going badly, how badly they were. But what I will say is that the second half changed my opinion as we went along. I thought a lot of what he did, a lot of the lineup switches that he ended up making, getting Wong and Fowler to the top, made a lot of sense. Shifting around the priorities in the bullpen where Gallegos was getting more leverage situations than some other guys. I thought there was a lot of growth shown over the course of the last season. Have you noticed anything at all different about him or the camp or anything compared to last year's camp?
That's a great question. I think he's paid even more attention to detail. I followed him for like 2 days last week, just watching to see how he teaches. And he's a hands-on guy in the drills and just talking to guys and the eye contact and the body language. He's not a hoot and a holler, but he is a very emphatic and direct guy when it comes to teaching. And as good as the Cardinals were defensively last year and as good as they were base running-wise, guess what? They're working even more on those sort of things. You know, they don't want to take anything for granted. So I love the way he communicates. I love the way he teaches. And he has a feel for knowing what the hot hand is in situations. And I think the best example was Tommy Edman. Okay, you bring up a guy who's been playing shortstop in the minors, and you say, all right, here's third basis. Do with it. And he accounted for himself extremely well. And I thought he was one of the main reasons, along with Jack Flaherty's second half, for why the Cardinals found themselves in postseason play.
That's a good point. I would agree with that. All right, now the most important question of the interview, Klaibs. Just kind of going back to my own experiences covering spring training in Jupiter for a long time during my first stretch here at KMOX. What's on the menu for tonight, man? Where's dinner? Because to me, the dinner and the hanging out after dinner and all that stuff was kind of the highlight of the spring in addition to watching games.
And it hasn't changed. I did that last night.
Okay.
So I'm going to be in tonight. I've got something. I'm working on this dish. It's a shrimp where you can do a lobster Murano.
Look at you.
Years ago, you got to play with the sauce a little bit. So I'm going to do that here. And just kind of take it easy tonight, catch a little NBA maybe.
Oh, good man.
You know, so I may do that, man. I'm trying to finish a book. So I might do that. But I got some options, but I'm eating in tonight. I'm expecting a big weekend of dining.
Nice.
I found a new restaurant here that I'm going to go to maybe tomorrow night. You know, you got the PGA in town, so getting the table could be a little bit of a challenge because they got the Honda Classic going on.
Yeah, you know, I forgot when I asked you that question. I forgot you also got to be up early in the morning.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to be close to home tonight. But you know what? All hands on deck for the weekend. I got no curfew. So, you know, there's no telling where I may end up. But I had a good dinner last night. So tonight I'll keep it quiet. But you can count on me being seen somewhere here in the Palm Beach County area.
You know, I'm not going to lie, man. Even back in the day when I was doing the spring trainings for KMOX, there are those days where you're like, you know, man, we've gone out like 8 straight days. We've all hung out, you know, watching college basketball, watching NBA games, all the gang together. I think I'm just going to stay at the condo today. I'm going to order some pizza and hang out.
And I just got off a run like that. I had 7 days in a row where I had gone out to dinner with somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just, you know, I was tired of looking at waiters, first of all. So I decided I was going to work on this little dish. I play with it from time to time. The key to it is the sauce. So I got all my ingredients laid out, and I'm kind of just playing with it a little bit. So I'm going to do that tonight. And as you mentioned, I'm doing morning drive tomorrow. Yeah. So I'm going to try and get a little sleep, you know, see how that works.
Good luck.
And we'll be ready to go. You know how that morning thing can be, man. It's no fun sometimes. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know how our man Tom Ackerman does it every day, man. I mean, geez. I'm not a morning guy, Klaibs. And I know you're a night guy like me, I think.
Yeah. But you know what? I remember doing morning drive, and I was a night guy.
Uh-oh.
So you just add that up, man. There were some times where I was just, you know, but it's not for, you know, anybody who can do mornings, I tip my cap to them because it is a lifestyle changer for sure.
No doubt about it. Well, Klaibs, have a good, quiet night. We'll look forward to hearing you in the morning filling in for our buddy Tom Ackerman. And we'll look forward to talking again soon, man. Enjoy Florida, and we'll hear you when we hear you.
Tickle pink to hear you on KMOX, and hopefully we'll do it again in the very near future.
All right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Take care.
That is my guy, Mike Claiborne, Cardinals broadcaster, of course, Mr. Sports. I'll tell you that I think you know sometimes a lot of us that you know we've been doing the spring training thing for a while. Like sometimes I feel like I need to break the code a little bit because like going out for dinner doesn't mean like oh yeah, let's go to the 5 p.m. early bird special and. Get the deals. Like normally the day ends, like the work day ends like 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, depending on who your running mates are. You know, like me, my running mates were all the writers. So they were always writing until 8, 9. And of course I was down there doing Sports Open Line from our quote unquote broadcast center down there. So I wasn't getting done till 9 o'clock at night, Eastern time, sometimes 10 o'clock. I think back in the, if I remember right, I think we used to go to 9 some of those days. I can't remember. It's been too long. So you mean like that code, like going out to dinner, like usually that means you're like done and getting back home well after midnight. And if you guys know anything about the spring training routine, the guys show up really early for work. You have to be back there like 7:30 in the morning. So sometimes you got to regulate yourself. It's nice to see Mike Claiborne taking care of himself, doing a little self-regulating tonight and getting some rest before he works on TIAM tomorrow morning in place of our friend Tom Ackerman. All right, we got more cards coming your way. I mentioned we'll talk to Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio next hour. Michael Rappaport, actor and comedian, coming to town to work at Helium on Sunday. We'll talk some sports with him. Coming up next, more on the cards. A little bit more on the departure of Marcell Ozuna, a couple things he said that were reported by our friend Derek Gould. And I just saw a story related to Curt Flood and some folks in Congress asking the Hall of Fame to look at recognizing him coming up when they have the next opportunity to do so with people on the Veterans Committee ballot. So we get into a couple of those things next up. Kevin Wheeler with you here on Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Outstanding to be with you, man. Kevin Wheeler filling in for my buddy Chris Raby tonight. Raves is, as we'd like to say, on assignment. Actually, he and Kyle McClellan called the Cardinals game on the road today. And being that the Braves facility is a little ways away from Jupiter, kind of hard to get back. So appreciate everybody here letting me in the building, hang out, have some fun talking baseball and whatever else happens to come up over the another hour and 10 minutes will take you up till 8 o'clock here on Sports Open Line. All right, a couple of quick things I want to hit on baseball wise. First of all, my friend Derek Gould had a really interesting piece today in the Post-Dispatch, talking a bit about Marcell Ozuna, right? And the fact that he would have taken a 1-year deal from the Cardinals, similar to the one that he took from the Braves, but that it really wasn't offered a second time around. And, you know, Marcell Ozuna is a name that can bring you some comfort if you're a baseball fan, right? I mean, he's got at least some kind of track record of batting in the middle of the order. You know, he had the one big season in 2017 where, he was basically 50% above league average. He was an all-star. He was a gold glover, got MVP votes. I mean, won the Silver Slugger. You name it, man. 37 bombs, 924 OPS. And, you know, when you think of, you know, missing a presence in the middle, I mean, this team is missing a cleanup hitter, right? And that's a fact. They're missing a cleanup hitter. Well, they were missing that even with him the last couple years. And I know that injuries interrupted what was a pretty good year for him last year. But if you look at the sum total of Ozuna's 2 years in a Cardinals uniform, he was barely above league average in terms of his total production. He's like 6-7% above league average. And when you really consider like the job, right, like 6-7% above league average is one thing. But when you're playing left field, which is a production position, and when you're being asked to bat cleanup, which is a production spot in the order, that's actually below average for what you're asking him to do. So when you think of corner outfielders and you think of corner outfielders that bat cleanup, 7% above league average is not what you're looking for. And I know, you know, a lot of people don't want to get into, you know, the more advanced metrics, but I'm a fan of things that can tell you a better story than just home runs and RBIs. And he's pretty good with the home runs and the RBIs, but, you know, there's more to it than that, as we all know, and teams look at it that way too. I think when you look at some of the projections that were out there for him for 2020, you're looking at basically the same guy you've had the last 2 years. Do you want to block Dylan Carlson with an $18 million contract? Because that's essentially what you're coming down to. Because then if you sign Ozuna back for that 1 year, you only have one spot open for movement, and that would be center field. Because you guys, you know, one of the constant complaints I hear from Cardinals fans is, you know, they keep playing the contract of Dexter Fowler. They keep playing the contract. Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how things work in Major League Baseball for higher paid players, because they come with track records where there's a certain level of expectation. So you have to give them every chance to lose the job. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's how it is. So if we're going to talk about how we want it to be, or are we going to talk about how it is? I prefer to talk about how it is. If you give Marcell Ozuna that deal, you're going to have to play him whether he's good or not, or whether he's excellent or not, because he'll be okay. but he's only had 1 year in his career where he was markedly above league average, and that was 2017. And let's keep in mind, he's been a big leaguer since 2013. So 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19. All of those years, average or below. 1 year, he was a stud. I totally understand why they decided to move on. Don't have a big issue with that. Then you throw in the defensive decline that we saw in the last 2 years, the inability to throw. And last year, even when he could throw, his defense just slid, right? I mean, he was a negative defender last year based on a couple of different ratings. I didn't have any problem with allowing him to walk. And I don't have a real worry about him being in Atlanta. He might have a great year this year, but I think, you know, with Carlson a couple of steps away and a lot of the other guys they need to find out about, I actually did agree with that move to let him walk. Now, I would have also signed off on bringing in another yes player, right? Another guy that you know is going to give you production. I'm on board for that idea. You know, I was on board for the idea, even though I never thought it was possible. And still don't think it's very likely. I was on board for Nolan Arenado. If you're going to tell me that you want to make a run on that guy, yes, of course. Let's talk about that guy. That'd be fantastic. But again, real world versus fantasy world probably wasn't going to happen at the time that it was being discussed and probably isn't going to happen between now and the trade deadline. But I agree that that's the kind of player they need to add to complement Paul Goldschmidt. That's the player they were hoping Marcell Ozuna was going to be when they originally traded for him from the Marlins. Now, they've chosen not to go that route. So what we're going to find out here, and this is, to me, one of the most interesting things about the 2020 Cardinals team. We know that we talked about it with Klaibs. We know that they have depth. They've got a lot of options for these spots in the order that we're talking about. They've got a lot of options for the rotation with Mikolas probably missing some time at the beginning of the year with the questions about Carlos. We don't know if the arm's going to hold up or not. They have the depth to answer that. They have the depth of guys to give you answers in left or center field. But what we don't have are anybody you can say, yes, I know what I'm going to get from that player. And that's what makes us nervous, right? That's what makes a fan nervous. That's what makes people observing on the outside nervous. You don't have a yes. You know, the Braves see Josh Donaldson walk out the door. They replace him with Marcell Ozuna. But they've got Freddie Freeman. That's a yes. They've got Ronald Acuna. That's a yes. They've got Ozzie Albies. That's a yes. Those aren't maybes. Those aren't hopefullys. Those are yeses. Even the Cubs coming off a bad year. Bryant's a yes. Rizzo's a yes. You know, that's a scary thing going into the year. So to me, the story is how the team moves as the season goes along. How quickly do they move off of struggling players if the players struggle? And if somebody runs with it, well, we're not going to have any complaints, man. If Tyler O'Neill hits 30 bombs this year, we're not going to have any complaints as long as he doesn't strike out 220 times. So we've got this balance of things to look at. My interesting question, my biggest question, and arguably my biggest complaint the last few years was the lack of in-season movement when you were close. I can live with patience in the offseason, especially when you have a lot of talent and you've got, you know, guys that you want to find out more about in Justin Williams and Lane Thomas and Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader and Dylan Carlson. Totally makes sense. We'll get to more of this coming up in the next hour. Also, something on Kurt Flood right after the top of the hour. Stick around. Kevin Wheeler with you here on Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.